The scripture this morning is taken from John 20:19-23. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." And now from Acts 2:1-4. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each one of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them.
Thank you so very, very much. Beautifully read. Our gracious God, as we come, open our hearts that we might hear what you have to say to us today. In the quiet moments, in the music and hymns that are sung, as your word is read. For we pray in Christ's name. Amen. Well, I always begin my sermons with a question, and here's the question today. Have you ever thought about the power of one tiny little spark? Pretty powerful. Don't ever hold on to that spark plug on the lawnmower. Came down yesterday morning, and there's Aaron Stass and Paul Cleveland, and they're hosing off the walks, and Paul's got his leaf blower going, you could hear it a block away. But he knows he wouldn't have blown one leaf or moved one leaf if that didn't have a little spark in it energizing that engine. How many of you rode in a car to church today? Everybody. Unless you rode in a diesel, you got here because of a little spark that's coming off those spark plugs in your engine. The power of one little spark. And if you go home this afternoon and decide to grill up those beautiful ribeyes or a nice, big, lushy hamburger, and you want to light that barbecue, it's going to take one little spark to get that barbecue lit. Sometimes it takes two or three if you're being. But a spark can be very destructive also. A spark can burn down your house. A spark can consume an entire forest. I've been reading about what's happened in McMurray, Canada, where a 600-square-mile fire has encroached upon the town, and they've evacuated the town, and the fire has swallowed up 2,500 homes. The power of one little spark. Early in my ministry, I used to dean junior high summer camps up at Mingus Mountain. You have never lived till you've been on Mingus Mountain with 150 junior highs for a week. That will change your life, let me tell you. But one of the moments up there that was always wonderful was the campfire every night. They had a big campfire out in the meadow, and we'd gather at the campfire, and we'd sing Pass It On and some different camp songs. And we'd have a closing circle around the campfire. Well, the last camp that I did on the very last night of camp, we're gathered around the campfire for our closing circle, and a big log in the campfire just kind of collapsed and burst open and sent this shower of sparks up in the night sky. And I thought, what a beautiful analogy for the church, for what should happen every Sunday morning. We come and we're touched by a spark of God's love, and then a shower of sparks leave the sanctuary, and we go back to our schools and our homes and our workplaces and wherever we hang out, the stores where we shop. And we share that spark of God's love with every person that we meet. In easier words, we pass it on, just like the song says. Well, the passage that was read to you this morning is from the book of Acts. That's the one I want to look at. And it tells us about a holiday called Pentecost. We love holidays. Memorial Day is coming up, 4th of July, and then we have Labor Day and Thanksgiving and Christmas and New Year's and Easter. But the Jewish people had this very special holiday called Pentecost. And it happened 50 days after Passover or 50 days after our Easter. And Pentecost was a great celebration. It was really a big deal in Jesus' day. Everybody came from all over the world. It was kind of like a harvest festival. It was a time of food. It was a time of wine. It was a time of seeing people you haven't seen for a long time. And it was just a real party time in Jerusalem. Well, if you remember from Pastor Kim's sermon last week, he preached from Acts 1 where Jesus told the disciples to go and wait in Jerusalem till the power came from above. So on this Pentecost, this day of Pentecost, the disciples are gathered in Jerusalem. The text tells us they were all gathered in one place. And let me tell you, folks, they were gathered behind locked doors. They were gathered behind the shades being pulled down and the lights off because they were scared to death. They knew that what happened to Jesus could happen to them at any moment. The doors could burst open, they could be arrested, and the same thing could happen to them. But something else happened on that day of Pentecost. As they were gathered together, they heard the sound that was kind of like a mighty wind, and it roared through the room and touched the life of every person there. And they saw what appeared to be little tongues of fire. Look at the front of your bulletin on the heads of each person. And then they ran outside to tell everybody what had happened. And people from all over the world heard it in their own language. It was an incredible experience of God's power. And suddenly, here's the miracle. Those people who were terrified, those people who were afraid, all of a sudden they had a power and a confidence that they never had before because they knew God was with them. They knew God was by their side, that God would never leave them or forsake them, and they knew from that moment on that whatever happened in life, they could face it because they were never facing it alone. We sometimes call that day of Pentecost the birthday of the Christian church, because they left after experiencing that spark of Pentecost, took it to every corner of the world, and it became a mighty flame that's touched every nation in the world. So have you ever thought about the power of spark? What kind of spark are you? You know, a spark can do three things. It can fade, or a spark can grow, or a spark can ignite a great flame. Have you ever noticed that sometimes you are really excited to do something? You have the spark of energy to go out and try something new, to do something new, to change the world, and then somebody rains on your parade. You have this great idea, you're ready to go out and set the world on fire, and somebody comes up with a bucket of water and just tosses it on your parade. Sometimes a spark can fade. We have to have the faith to not let it go out. There was a letter to the editor in the Arizona Republic just a few years ago, and it was so good I cut it out and saved it. It was from a woman that was on her way west on the 202. And she said, I was probably driving very slow and probably not paying attention. And suddenly a truck came up behind her and just started tailgating her. And then the truck went around her and got in front of her, and the guy hit his brakes. And then he sped up and hit his brakes again. And she changed lanes, and he changed lanes. And he kept harassing her. And then she came to the 101 South, and as she turned to go on the 101 South, he pulled up next to her and went like that, in the shape of a gun. In that letter to the editor, she shared that she was on her way to the mortuary to pick up thank you cards for people who had attended her 28-year-old daughter's service who'd been killed in a car accident. She said, I probably wasn't driving like I should be. But she begged people in that article never to rage at another person because you don't know what they might be going through. And then in her last words, she forgave that driver. You see, the guy couldn't put out the spark. You know, she wouldn't let him put out the fire of her faith. Well, you know, something else can happen to a little spark or one of those embers. It can grow. It can just continue to grow. You know, I worried about those sparks that shot out of that log and up on Mingus Mountain, but a ranger told me, he said, you know, they're so tiny and so light, if they're carried by the air, they probably go out before they ever touch the ground. But maybe now and then one continues to grow. 32 years ago, Vicki and I left this wonderful church to begin our ministry out in Buckeye, Arizona. Boy, Buckeye was a cool place at that time. Learned to love cotton farmers and dairy farmers, learned to walk around in cow pies and do all those kind of things, you know, that you do out in a rural community. But while I was out there, I had a wedding. And you know, I've had weddings on mountaintops, and I've had weddings all over. I had one out of Africa up in Camp Verde once, and I had one on a boat called a Dolly Steamboat. But this wedding was in a backyard of a farmer lived just east of Buckeye. They had a beautiful backyard. It was for his daughter and her fiance, and they picked the hottest day of the year to have an outside wedding. It was just, oh man. So they set up the chairs. They had a runner going down on the grass between the chairs. Came time to begin the ceremony, and the groom and I walked out, and the groomsman came around one side, and the bridesmaid came around the other, so they wouldn't walk down this runner. And then at just the moment, the bride appeared on her father's arm, and he didn't walk on the runner, but she started down the runner. And then all of a sudden, I noticed she had this strange look on her face. And she was kind of shuffling, kind of like this. And I couldn't figure out what happened until I looked behind her and realized the runner was disappearing. Her heels had gone through the runner, and it was gathering up under her wedding dress. So she got up in front of me, and her wedding dress was almost straight out. And her bridesmaids surrounded her, and I heard this rustling, and then all of them, sudden one of them ran off with this great big roll of runner and tossed it to the side. But that was just the beginning. Two of the groomsmen, one got sick and had to leave, and the other one fainted. It was just the best man and the groom. So we got through the ceremony, signed the license, and they had brought the cake out. And when the cake got in the sun, it started to melt. The frosting started running down the cake, and all of a sudden I saw the cake topper leaning to one side, and I thought, this is a disaster. Well, anyway, they got married. And I saw them a few years later, and they came running up, and they said, our wedding was so cool. It was wonderful. We'll never forget it. And I said, I'll never forget it either, you know. But the beautiful thing is that spark that brought them together continued to grow. It never went out. And that's what it is with us. You know, life may trip us up, but that spark of God's love always needs to grow. Well, there's one more thing that a spark can do. It can fade, it can continue to grow, but then a spark can ignite a mighty flame. Well, from May 10th to May 20th, in Portland, Oregon, there are representatives from Methodist churches from all over the world gathering for General Conference. I mean, there's representatives from islands in the Pacific, from the Philippines, from Asian countries, from Africa, from Europe, and from South America, and from America. And they gather for 10 days to worship and to pray and to celebrate, to debate and to discern God's vision for our church in the next 4 years, because General Conference is every 4 years. And we just need to pray for a great outpouring of God's Spirit. We need to pray for another day of Pentecost so we know exactly where God leads us to go. But since it's kind of Methodist week up in Portland, I thought I'd share a Methodist story. I want to tell you about a preacher. He was 35 years old. He was a little guy. He was about 5'2 in his bare feet. Probably never weighed over 120 pounds in his entire life. He never was very well. Throughout his life, he had breathing problems. He had stomach problems in his entire life. But But it was his dream, this little preacher's dream, to come to America and preach to the Native Americans. So he caught a boat, and it took him to St. Simon's Island, just off of the coast of Georgia. And he made his way to Savannah, and that's where he began his ministry, and it was a disaster. You know, the Native Americans didn't know what to do with this guy that wore a powdered wig, had this odd-looking collar, had these boots up to his knees. They thought he was a real nut job. And then he fell in love with the governor's daughter. And she dumped him for another guy. And he was so angry, he wouldn't serve her communion in church, kind of calling her a fallen woman. And for that stupid mistake, he had to flee in the middle of the night, and he caught a ship back to England. And he wrote in his diary, he said, I've been a failure at everything. You know, I've been a failure at love. I've been a failure in my ministry. I've been a failure with people. My life is over. It's a miracle. He just didn't jump off the boat on the way over. He got back to England, and a friend invited him to a Bible study in a place called Aldersgate Street on May 24th. And this little bitty preacher went and he sat down. And during a reading of Luther's Introduction to Romans, something happened. He felt his heart strangely warmed. He felt the power of the Spirit in a way that he had never, ever felt it before. He knew that he did trust in Christ. He knew that it wasn't up to anything he could do, but it was up to what God had done for him. And he left a changed man. And word got out about him. And a few weeks later, he preached at a brickyard in Bristol, England, wondering if anyone would come. 3,000 people showed up to hear this little guy called John Wesley. He lived 40 more years, and at the end of his life, England was a different place. People were learning to read so they could read the Bible. People were loving their children rather than putting them in factories. Children were going to school rather than doing 12 hours of labor. You know, people were saving their money. The face of the nation had changed. And a lot of it had to do with these people called Methodists and the spark that had been put in the heart of a tiny little preacher named John Wesley. So what are we supposed to do with this? There's only one thing I would say, is we just say, do it again, Lord. Do it again. Please, please. Do it again. What a great church we have, God. We thank you for this morning hour. We thank you for the way your Spirit has moved among us, kindling love, kindling an eagerness to share who you are, kindling the desire to have you a deeper part of our lives. We just pray, do it again and keep doing it. For we pray in Christ's name. Amen.